Hey everyone, welcome back to Tea Spill with Tony podcast. It's been a long ass time, and I've attempted to record this episode a few times last month, where I originally wanted to post this episode last month, but we're now in February, and I just didn't know how to. I didn't feel comfortable speaking for, you know, a length of time, and so much has happened, and hopefully I don't restart the episode again and, you know, annoy myself even more. But I want to get into all the details as much as I can remember, because it's been so long and a lot has happened, and I kind of just left this podcast pretty much abandoned. I haven't given, you know, details as to why, but hopefully I don't get all weird and choked up you know, while talking about all of this. But yeah, I wanted to record this last month. I didn't, so, and then hopefully if everything goes well, you know, right now, hopefully I'll be able to talk about some lighter, funner, more interesting things at the end of the podcast. You know, Amber Lynn being so fucking annoying, because I'm still just so annoyed with that bitch, and I've been keeping up with the reaction channels, just looking at her being a mess. And every time she refers to herself, she's always like, I'm a hot mess. I'm like, bitch, there's nothing hot about you. You're a fucking mess. You're not a hot mess. You're a fucking mess, capital letters, the whole way. But before, you know, we'll get to that at the end. But I really want this episode to be kind of, I want it to be eye-opening. I want people to understand more about this topic, and, or just my quote-unquote journey with what has happened, because it was so unexpected. But yeah, I'm trying to think about anything else. I'm going to start off. So last year, I recorded two episodes. And the year before that, this might get confusing, but the year before that, in 2021, I had experienced two panic attacks, which were kind of like a week apart, and they were very intense. I could not ignore them. I didn't really know what they were, and they happened both, I believe, in the morning. And they were really intense, and I want to say a few weeks, months after that, I had experienced very high anxiety to the point where I couldn't sit still. My mind was racing, and I want to say this happened in the fall-ish months. And I did go to the hospital when that happened, and they didn't really do anything about it aside from prescribing me a benzodiazepine pan. I think it was Ativan. I don't remember, but it was really intense. It was really scary to feel that way, and I had to be really patient with it because there was no quick fix. And that being said, I've never taken any sort of benzodiazepine like Xanax or Ativan or the other ones that exist out there. I just never wanted to be one to reach for them because I do know that they can be a bit addictive and people can abuse them. And I just didn't want to take that risk with myself. And so all that happened, and I think around Christmas time, I started to feel better, and then the new year entered 2022. And I'm trying to explain this the best way I can, so hopefully I'm not just like skimming through it, but you know, it really was intense at the time, even though now looking back, I feel like that was not the worst of it. But yeah, the new year rolled in, and here at home, we were doing some changes to the house, new windows. We were just doing a lot at once, and I was still feeling panicky. Like it was more manageable, but I was still feeling panicked at times, and I was trying to fix that at that point. I wasn't experiencing, you know, crazy high anxiety like I did in the beginning, but still feeling panicked. And so around that time I switched psychiatrists and switched over to the one that I'm still seeing now. And we switched some of my medications around because that's something that I really wanted to explore, is that, you know, in the beginning, ever since I moved back from back here to the Central Coast from LA back in 20, let me see if I can think of this clearly. This was back in 2017. Ever since 2017, I was on Zoloft, and I switched to Lexapro, last year around the early spring. And I thought to myself, hopefully this helps with the panicky feelings that I still experience. Obviously there's no guarantee, but I really wanted to explore it because I was on Zoloft for so many years, and I felt like it ran its course and it was time to explore something else. So I was on that for a few months, and then around July, my sister came to visit, and she was going to be out here for a week, and things were going good. I wasn't feeling as panicked. Things were just generally pretty chill. And then, so she came to visit, and the visit was fine. We didn't get into any tiffs or arguments, any embarrassing disagreements. The visit was okay. I do wish I participated more in the visit, but, you know, my nieces are still very young and my sister's on her own schedule with them. And, you know, I like to do things more in the evening and she likes to do things more in the morning. So, like, I didn't participate as much. I mean, just doing things here at home. So, this is where we get to the more depressing side of things. But so after she left, she left around 7, 8 in the morning back to Texas from the airport in San Jose. And I didn't go to drop them off. So by the time that I woke up later in the day, I was out in the living room with my parents. And so it had been a few hours, you know, later. I want to say this was now like afternoon time. And I remember that I was in the bathroom washing my hands, and I just thought to myself, like, I feel like I'm doing everything very automatic, very without thinking about it, and it felt weird to me. So I wash my hands, I leave the bathroom, and I'm about to sit down to eat something in the living room with my parents, and I just get this feeling of, like, this wave of, like, I'm about to experience another panic attack. And I want to say this was panic induced, because that's what happened. I didn't have a full panic attack, but I knew that I was about to experience one, and I kind of just, now I know how to calm myself when they happen. You know, I need to just take some deep breaths and, you know, acknowledge that it's happening, but usually that works for me to bring the feeling of it down. And so I do that. But I now feel like I need to stand up and walk around and get my mind off what I'm feeling. And what I'm feeling, I'm like on my side again, like usual. And my arm hurts. I start to experience what I now have known to be is derealization. And I just had all these feelings of suddenly having all these unanswerable questions running through my mind and feeling detached from where I am, what I'm doing, my own thoughts, my own feelings. It feels really intense, and I knew what it was immediately, or just because I think earlier last year, I had a moment of it when I was out in Seaside with my mom at a Costco, and I was walking around the aisles of Costco, and I just felt so, like, almost in a dream state. I felt very I felt very almost like in a false environment. And I mean, it was just so bizarre. And back during that night, evening in Costco, I remember going on to YouTube and Google for sure, I'm sure. And, you know, looking up the symptoms of feeling like almost like this unreality feeling. And having gone on YouTube, you know, after you watch a video, there's like a red line that goes under the thumbnail that you already watched it. And it was about derealization. So when I did that, I knew what it was. And back then, after the Costco visit, trip, outing, I think it went away that very night. And, you know, I think I kind of played it off thinking to myself, oh, I didn't sleep enough. Maybe it's because of my medication. And I'm not even sure if by that point I had switched over to Lexapro already. But, I mean, it's just been so confusing and so many feelings and thoughts, you know, having this happen. So yeah, it went away back then, and the word derealization, I kind of already knew what it was just because that happened. And so, you know, back to, you know, the end of July, I think, yeah, end of July, after my sister left, it's like this wave came back, but even stronger, and it fucked me up. I mean, I spent a good 3 something months of me just being shut in here at home, just putting on weight, being very concerned for what the hell is going on in my mind. And I apologize for all my filler words in this episode. I'm saying and like, and, you know, just all the usual filler words, and, you know, I'm just very, I'm just winging this episode. You know, now I'm 18 minutes in, and I feel like I'm gonna keep going until I'm done talking. So, hopefully this helps someone, and if you want to talk about it, there's my YouTube and my Twitter, which is at @tspilltony. I spent a good few months being shut in with my own thoughts and feelings and the existential questions that I have in my head. I remember going to this gas station here in town, and, you know, I remember getting out to fill my car, and my mom was with me, and I'm just thinking to myself, I know where I am, I've been here before, I know how to get back home, I know I drove here, but my brain isn't grounding me to the floor to tell me that this is reality. This is my life. I'm not asleep. I'm not dreaming. I'm not in a fucking simulation. And I've never been someone who had those thoughts before, by the way. Like I've mentioned before in my previous podcast episodes that I'm very much into, you know, sci-fi movies and space and fucking the unknown, but I don't get so deep into it to the point where I'm like, you know, having a crisis internally about all those things. But having had, why am I saying this as if it's past tense, but having derealization happen to you, it brings all that up to the surface, and it bugs the shit out of me. So I have all these thoughts running through my head, and I'm at the gas station, and I just, the feeling is so, it's so, you can't ignore it. And I'd be doing something, and then I'll come back home, and I'm like, did I actually do any of that? Did I actually go out? Did I actually drive? Did I actually do anything? It's caused so many issues to the point where, you know, I got my hair cut on Tuesday. And originally I was supposed to cut my hair in December, and I skipped it because, one, things were getting so close to the holidays that I think I didn't have enough time to do it. And then, you know, I was still feeling really fresh about this derealization issue that I thought, if I go there and it starts to feel weird and I start to get choked up, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to handle it, because I haven't had my hair cut at my usual place since before my sister came to visit. I think back in early July, in June, before derealization hit me. And so I went this time to get my hair cut, and it went fine. It was good. It was enjoyable. It went better than I expected, but at the same time, you know, I get back to the car where my mom is, and I'm just talking to her, saying that, I'm getting ahead of myself, by the way, because we're not at that point yet. So let me just reel it back, because I'm now talking about present times. But, those couple months when I went to the gas station and I would have these outings, it would mostly be in the evening, because I just wasn't up to doing anything. And I just really let, sorry, I just burped. I'm laying on my stomach, by the way, so that's why. But, I just felt so shut off, and I really hate that derealization or depersonalization, which I feel like, I don't know, I just, in my case, I identify more with the derealization aspect, but depersonalization, I think, also happens to me. I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, we talk so much about generalized anxiety and depression. I feel like bipolar and OCD are now getting more talked about, but when you search for information about derealization, it's like, it's hidden. And it's something that people just don't really acknowledge as much as the other topics. And, you know, I didn't even know that people can bring this on themselves, using marijuana. They can have a bad trip. And I feel like that's the best way to describe experiencing derealization. It's almost like you're in a bad, drugged up trip. I haven't used marijuana, so I don't know exactly 100% if that's the feeling, but it feels like you're just under the influence and you're fogged up and you just are so detached. You're in a bad state of mind, and it's fucking awful. What else? I told y'all this was gonna be all over the place. And so when I brought this up to my psychiatrist, early on, because this was, I had already switched over to my new psychiatrist, because the previous one, after I experienced the panic issue, which, by the way, now I feel like is fucking nothing, he didn't want to allow me to switch to a different SSRI. And I'm like, he was just not, we didn't match up well. Like, I had been with that guy, a patient of his, for years, and I feel like it just also ran its course, and so I switched over to another psychiatrist. And so when I brought it up to the new one, you know, she told me that she has seen this before and that it could take, you know, 6 months to a year usually. And I mean, like I told the person who was, you know, cutting my hair, I was like, you know, the psychiatrist tells me this and I'm crossing my fingers, praying, hoping to God that will be true. Because, you know, we're now in the new year and I don't fucking know how I'm going to feel from now up until, you know, the end of July, basically when all of this started last year. It just, I don't know, it's a big question mark, and I feel like that's a huge thing that people talk about when derealization is brought up, is how long are we going to have this? What's the quick fix, you know? And just to give an update on medications, because I feel like that's going to be really important. I feel like with every SSRI that I've been on, which now I've been on three, right now I'm on my third one, I generally, I don't have intense side effects whenever I switch. I feel like some people, that's a big issue. But in my case, not so much. You know, when I switched over to Lexapro, the second one, we thought maybe that's why I was experiencing derealization, because maybe the medication just wasn't mixing with my brain chemistry as well. And like I said, I feel like this was a panic-induced derealization episode, and I really hope it's a fucking episode. Meaning there's going to be an end to it, but I don't know. I mean, so right now, from Lexapro, we have now switched it to Prozac, which I've been taking for, I don't know how many months now. It's been a while. And, you know, there would be times when, after derealization started to affect me, that I would, you know, be on forums, I would be on YouTube, I would be looking at other people's experience with derealization and hearing their version and their story of having it and all the symptoms that came with it. And also one more thing that I wanted to add in is that ever since I experienced those two panic attacks back in 2021, I have dreamt nearly every single fucking night since then. And it can be anywhere from crazy, vivid, intense dreams to mild and mildly intense dreams. Like, before that, I used to not dream at all. I would dream once in a while. Like, seriously, something flipped in my brain, because this is not normal either. But after derealization, my dreams would blend in with my reality, and my reality would blend in with my dreams. Hopefully that makes any sense. Or hopefully that makes sense. It's like still such a fucking mess. And I think I read people that have, you know, OCD habits, OCD tendencies, OCD disorder in general, they're more prone to experiencing derealization. And I feel like that's kind of my case. Because I do have some pretty intense OCD habits that really affect me in my daily living. And I don't know, I feel like there's something to be said about how, you know, around 25, I'm 27, but after 25, when your brain is fully developed, I feel like, I don't know, from 25 to 30, maybe there's more of a chance for people to experience those more intense mental health issues. You know, that's just my opinion, who knows. But where did I leave off? I switched over to now Prozac and watching videos on YouTube about other people's experiences. Two of them have stuck out to me the most. One of them is a YouTuber who goes by Taylor Brittany, and she has uploaded quite a bit of videos on mental health topics and medications and her experience, and I think she's a Canadian-based YouTuber. And she mentioned her success on adding on Abilify, which is an antipsychotic. My psychiatrist says it's a mood stabilizer, but at that point, a few months in derealization, I thought to myself, I need to try this out, because I don't want to be in this intense state of mind any fucking longer. And so I feel like it has helped, but at the same time, I'm taking such a low dose of it. And early on, I did experience some restlessness. And I take the liquid versions of Prozac and Abilify. And so right now I'm taking 5 mLs of Prozac, 1 ml of Abilify. And so right now I'm still hesitant to increase Abilify, because I just don't want to experience any of the insane side effects that are in the booklet pamphlet. Because there's a lot of them. And I don't know how common it is for people to have those negative side effects, the more intense ones. But I mean, last year, just to kind of give a mini recap, Halloween, which I adore, I did not celebrate. It was completely shut down. I did not hand out candy. I did not decorate. I didn't do anything. And the things that we did do were just here at home, light, like porch light off. And it was just, you know, my parents and I. But I mean, even when I experienced those two panic attacks in 2021, I celebrated Halloween and I handed out candy. And that was only a few months after the panic attacks had happened. And I was still feeling panicky, but my gosh, I fucking handled that shit. And my gosh, even my niece, who was born in November of that same year of 2020, gosh, of 2021, my parents, they flew out to Texas for my second niece's birth. And I was here at home by myself, panicked as fuck, panicked as hell, panicky, like so much panic, especially the first few days. And they were out there for like, I think almost 2 weeks, a week and a half. They were there for a while. In the first few days, I was a fucking wreck. My anxiety, like, went from mild to heightened, and like I can't believe the fucking roller coaster that I've been on. But yeah, that happened. My parents went off to Texas. They came back. By the time they got back, things were okay. That year's Christmas. Oh, and by the way, they went off to Texas the very next day after Thanksgiving. Like, it was so immediate. And that Christmas, that year, it was all right. It was all right. But for 2022, now last year, so like I said, Halloween was non-existent. Thanksgiving was. I was still feeling derealization-ish. And then Christmas, I was now feeling a little bit normal-ish. But I feel like I still have a ways to go. You know, I just mentioned earlier about how on fucking Tuesday, I went to go get my hair cut. And so I go back to the car. And I'm talking to my mom about how, like, it feels really. I still don't feel myself 100% like I used to. And I don't know if that's a trauma thing, a trauma response, because this has been so in my face. You can't ignore it. You can't distract yourself from it. It completely envelops your entire life. And like I said, I'm still dreaming every single night when I fucking go to sleep. So that's another thing. I can't relax in the daytime or the nighttime. At this point now, I'm more relaxed in the daytime than I am when I'm fucking asleep, but it could still be a mess. And, you know, it was so intense to the point where even when I was looking at those videos of people's experiences with derealization, I almost couldn't even believe the videos. Like, am I really sitting here with my phone in my hand right now? Am I really listening to these people's words? That's another thing, is that it's caused so many existential questions in my head to the point where even my speech and my talking, I think to myself, how is it that I'm able to form sentences so quickly? How is it that I'm able to speak at all? Put words together and not really think about it. It can drive you fucking nuts. And let me bring the screen down. Sorry, you guys. I would have those thoughts. I would feel just so overwhelmed and like, how am I going to fix this? How did this happen? How did this happen the day that my sister left? Like the very same morning-ish day. I don't know. And I'm not really much of an existential thinker. I'm not like someone being like, what happens after you die? Or how is it that I exist and I'm born? And why am I here? And what is life? Like, I just, before this happened, I wasn't like that. Even after my panic attacks, I wasn't like that. Like, I didn't even know the word until that happened at Costco early last year. I struggle to talk about all this, and it's taken me a while to even put a new episode up here on the podcast because a lot has fucking happened. And let me tell you, like, this whole, like, the whole panic attack issue, like, it wasn't even a full year, a full 12 months. And then another issue, being the derealization, hits me in the face. Like, I couldn't catch my breath. And, like, just when I think I'm recovering from one thing, another thing fucking happens. So, yeah, I mentioned how I just felt so strange. I'm like, the first few months, I'm walking around my house thinking to myself, what the hell? Like we, before my sister came to visit, we put up new curtains, we got a new rug in the living room. And after derealization happened, I'm like, okay, the curtains, I know we bought those. I know that we put this rug down and it's new. Everything's the same. I know where I am. I've been in this house my whole fucking life. But why do I feel so foreign in it? Why do I feel like this fogginess? It's almost like you're half. This is what I've been saying since it started. It feels like you're operating at 50% consciousness. I mean, that's so trippy. What else? Like, I would look at my car in the garage and I'm thinking to myself, is that even real? Like, is that actually there? Has that always been real? It's exhausting. It's so exhausting. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, another creator that on YouTube that I watched was Magnus Olsen, who I think might go by a different name, but that's his channel name. And he has two videos where he responded to one of the comments that I left. And I don't know where he's from. I don't know if he's from Sweden or from Ireland or from Switzerland. I don't know. He could be from anywhere in Europe. But yeah, he has a good video out about his experience with derealization and how it happened for him. So yeah, I think to wrap this up as much as I can, because I feel like I made no sense, and even for me, like, ever since the panic attacks up until now, I feel like dates and time and months, it all gets mixed up for me. It's all over the place. And so, yeah, I apologize. I mean, I've even had to go back to my own previous recordings on my podcast just to remind myself that I used to be, like, fucking okay. That I used to make sense and not even think about any of this. And also on my phone, I have over, I think, 14,000 photos on my phone. So from years back, I don't know from when, but years back, and I'm looking at those photos from before the panic attack issue began. And I keep saying panic attack issue, but it really isn't an issue right now anymore. And let's pray to God it stays that way. But, you know, I needed to, ever since derealization happened, I needed to look back at those photos from before the panic attacks, from before derealization, especially derealization. I think to myself, I used to be normal. I used to be okay. I used to not care about any of this. Like, why can't I be that same person again? What the hell is my brain doing that doesn't allow me to feel like I used to? And it's almost like, well, you've experienced it and you can't unexperience something in your life. So I think that's where I am right now, is that I'm trying to move on from it, knowing that I can't just erase it. But I really do hope that my brain is still hasn't settled from it and that it'll resolve itself on its own. What else? I'm still living my life. I'm still trying to be as me as possible. You know, right now I'm in the guest room here at the house, and, you know, I spent a lot of time here in this room while I was quote unquote recovering, but it was more me sulking for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it was. And I mean, my best advice is that you just have to stay calm. You just have to, you just have to face it. You have to accept that it's happening, because that's all you can do. If you panic about it for, you know, too much, that's not going to help. But you just have to give it time. And I mean, at that point, when it happened to me, I wasn't, you know, working any part-time job or full-time job. I wasn't going to school. So, you know, I'm really fortunate in that sense. But there's no telling how I'm going to feel in the future when I do want to work, when I do want to, you know, finish my degree, which I still have that one fucking math class, like I mentioned. There's no telling what the future holds when it comes to derealization, and that's so annoying to accept. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I needed to add in. You know, it's not as bad as it was today. Not speaking for today, you know, Saturday. I mean, you know, these last few weeks, months, like, it's not as bad as it used to be. And I don't know if that's Abilify. I don't know if that's just time itself. I don't know if my brain chemistry has just settled. Because, you know, having read the information about derealization, it's supposed to be a protection defense mechanism from trauma, from past trauma, from, I don't know. Like I mentioned, I feel like for me, this was panic induced. And, I hope that by just continuing on and not stressing yourself out because of it, that it'll resolve itself. We're now 51 minutes in, make that 52. And this episode was like, it's been a long time. If you guys have any questions about derealization, or you want to talk about it, because, bitch, I've been there, and I'm still there. I think Taylor Britney's new video about it is kind of exactly where I am with it. You know, she also has mentioned how, she doesn't really 100% know where it'll be or where it's going to be. And I feel like that's kind of where I am also. But if you have any questions, I'm frequently on YouTube at TSpillTony. Also on Twitter at TSpillTony. If you like this episode, you can listen to my previous recordings where I'm actually more sane. And I don't mean that in a joking way. I honestly mean that literally. Is literally meant to be used that way, literally? I remember seeing someone mention that. You know, literally doesn't mean literally. And I'm just like, then why the fuck does it... Forget it. My gosh. I've been talking about this for nearly an hour, and I can't believe that I finally recorded this episode. Like I mentioned, I've been a mess with recalling everything that happened. Like, it's so out of order, but I know that the message that I'm trying to put out makes sense, because derealization is a mess. What else? So yeah, I'm slowly trying to drive more in the daytime because I honestly venture out mostly in the evening at night. You know, right now here in California, it's still becoming dark by like 5:30-ish. So, I hopefully by, you know, the time change where it gets darker out later, I'll be back on the hiking trails, getting even more active because, like I mentioned, I put weight on during those few months last year, and that's a whole nother fucking stress in my life, but been doing that. I just really hope and pray that we can all go back to our default setting, because right now I feel like I'm still out of order. I'm still not out of the woods. And I really, really want to be. And I've also been, I still see the same therapist / social worker, that I've seen, you know, from years back, even before the COVID times. And so that's been still going on. My next appointment with my psychiatrist is going to be at the end of this month, and we'll see what we decide on Abilify, or I don't know. What else? I don't want to drag this on just to drag it on, but I feel like, should I talk about Amberlynn, or should I just save that for another episode? I feel like I'm going to save that because I want this episode just to be an update, and an update about what happened, and hopefully it could help, you know, other people. So yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't know when my next episode's going to be. I want to see what the response will be on this episode. If you can leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be great, just to support my podcast. And like I said, on Twitter, I'm at TSpiltoni. On YouTube, I am, same thing. Or actually, no, on YouTube, I changed my channel name to Tony B. Shady. Because, remember Michael B. Petty, who talked shit about Amberlynn every chance he could? I feel like I wanted to change my name to something similar, but like not the same. So yeah, I'm Tony B. Shady. Because that's what I like to do. All right, everyone, that's going to be it. This episode's going to be now an hour, basically, and it's good to finally explain what has happened. And I'll definitely, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Hopefully I'll catch you in the next one, whenever that'll be. And yeah, that's gonna be it for that. All right, bye everyone.